I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show, Hotel Mars Episode N. We're going to the surface of Mars. David Livingston, my colleague, my co-pilot of this space show. David, a very good evening to you. Curiosity. We spend so much time talking about curiosity. A wonderful reminder came from our guest this evening, Bill Foran, William Foran, senior research scientist at Space Science Institute, attached to NASA, working on the surface of Mars, not with Curiosity, the very large SUV, super SUV in Gale Crater, but with the original, the 10-year-old Opportunity. What is Opportunity, David?
Well, it was a rover launched 10 years ago along with Spirit, and Opportunity obviously has lasted a little bit longer than Spirit. It's traveled around 22 miles since it's been on Mars and chalking up unbelievable discoveries. It's, these rovers are just, they're amazing.
22 miles, 10 years, 35 kilometers, and we welcome Bill Foran. Bill, a very good evening to you. I very much appreciate your reminder. What about Oppie? What about Oppie? What is Oppie busy doing right now, the brave little robot?
Well, John, thanks for having me on. I'm glad to talk about what Opportunity has been up to. We've been exploring part of the rim of Endeavour Crater, this big 22-kilometer diameter crater that Opportunity is driven to, and exploring a portion of the rim of Endeavour called Matijevic Hill, where we orbital information indicates that there are these phyllosilicate or clay minerals, which has been a mineral of extreme interest for both Opportunity and for Curiosity.
So you say you're exploring. So that means all systems go on Oppie 10 years later. The power works, and the probes work, and the cameras work. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, we have lost a couple of instruments. We had this thermal emission spectrometer, which is no longer operational, and the rover's been on Mars so long that we've lost. We've gone past the half life limit of the radioactive source for an instrument known as the Mossbauer spectrometer, which is sensitive to iron mineralogy. So we have lost a couple of instruments, but we still have the alpha particle X-ray spectrometer and the panoramic camera, PanCam, and the microscopic imager, and we even have still some bite left in the teeth of the rat, this grinder that we use to grind into rocks.
It reminds me of R2-D2 in that great scene in Star Wars where he's picked up by marauders who also pilfer old robots and thrown into a bin of old robots all sitting around with various parts falling off. But R2-D2 got out of it and Oppie gets out of it.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost like the guy in Monty Python. I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, I'm not dead yet. David?
It's good to talk to you. Oppie, is it seen as competition with Curiosity? Are they complementary? Do they pay attention to the missions of the other ones? How does that work within the structure of JPL and NASA?
You know, it's definitely a little different than it was when Spirit was still going. When Spirit was still going, we were definitely one big team. The Curiosity team is distinct from the Opportunity team, although there are scientists who are on both. I'm not on Curiosity, so sometimes we'll come upon something and one of the guys who's working on Curiosity will say, oh yeah, we've seen this over there at Gale Crater.
So there is some disdain, like you're the old guys. Let's talk about where is Oppie on the planet from where Gale Crater is? Are you on the opposite side of the planet, or are you on the same equatorial line?
Well, boy, you would catch me. I think we're about three quarters of the way around, but don't quote me on.
So you, although you could say this is the same season on Mars, you could be experiencing entirely different climate and winds and terrain than they're finding in Gale Crater. This is actually, I think of it now accidentally, as how in the early days of exploration of the Pacific, you would not send just one vessel out, as they did with the original Captain Cook, but you'd send two. And that these would be two observing points that gave you depth of science that you wouldn't get with one. And that they didn't design Oppie and Gale and Spirit that curiosity that way. That's the way it's working. Do you find this dialogue useful to JPL in looking at the planet?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, we're definitely exploring different areas. I mean, on the rim of Endeavor Crater, where Opportunity is right now, that's a chunk of Mars that's older than what we've been driving over, and with the silicate minerals that are there are potentially different than the ones that are expect that Curiosity is expected to find at Gale Crater. So, you know, by looking at the two different environments of formation, we can potentially get some pretty valuable information.
And I just want to get an idea of where we are, because there are lots of ways for people to find out pictures from Mars Express looking down. You're at the rim of Gale Crater. How far are you from Cape York right now, Bill?
Oh, well, and we're on Cape York, so we've kind of subdivided Endeavor Crater is a very old crater, so
right.
We just have the bits of the rim sticking up, and it's not a continuous rim, so they're just kind of segments. So we're currently on Cape York is the overall segment that we're on, and Matijevic Hill is the subsection of Cape York, and we're getting ready to leave Cape York and to drive south to another part of the rim that has a steeper north-facing slope.
That's the one you call a Solander Point? Is that where you're heading?
Right.
I see Solander Point. So you're going close to the edge of the rim. And people can enjoy this. There are wonderful illustrations about how far Oppy has traveled and all of the name. Have you had anything named for you yet, Bill?
No. I mean, I think that happens when you die, so I'm not ready for that to happen.
David?
Do we know why Spirit has stopped and didn't make it, and why Oppy is still going strong?
Yeah, well, Spirit had the misfortune of encountering kind of a sand trap where it was driving around the side of this feature in Gusev Crater called Home Plate, and it actually broke through a crust, not just one wheel, but a few of the wheels actually sunk down into this very fine-grained dust. And, you know, we made some valiant efforts to try to get it out. But the winter, Martian winter set in, and it wasn't able to generate enough power over the winter to keep the heaters going over the night. So it experienced some failure due to the extreme cold weather.
And Spirit, they call it a weather station. Is it actively responding to signals?
Oh, no. Spirit's, after the Martian winter ended, where we hadn't been able to get it out of its sand trap, quite a large or persistent effort was made to try and reestablish contact with it, but there's never a response. So yeah, we're afraid that the cold weather caused some kind of irreparable damage to its systems.
David,
do you the differences between Curiosity and Oppy are huge in terms of how they were made, their capabilities, their features. If we were doing this over again, would you advocate reproducing Oppy? I mean, is it such a good design since it's made it for 10 years that you could just reproduce it? Is that a desirable thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess everybody has their own desired strategy for exploring Mars. Yeah, I mean, I would just love to be able to, make a number of kind of Mars exploration rover class vehicles, and maybe swap out a few instruments here and there. But I mean, I think it'd be a great way to explore different parts of the planet, because I mean, Mars is it's a big place, and there are a lot of different areas to explore there.
My understanding of how you drive Oppy and how you drive Curiosity is that there's a gap between when you send the orders and when you come and when it's returned, what actually happened. You have meetings about this the night before, and then you send the orders out in the morning, and then you wait for results. What is the pattern, Bill?
Yeah, Well, we have what we call science operation working group meetings, where the science team interacts with the engineers who do the command uplinks, and so the scientists will voice their desirements and we'll kind of come to a consensus on what the best science strategy is, and then the engineers tell us whether we can actually do it or not, you know, based on the constraints of the rover, and you know, if it's something that's that can readily be done, they translate it into commands and do an uplink of those commands, and sometimes these will be plans that will run for, you know, several sols or Martian days.
Bill Ferrand, William Ferrand, is a senior research scientist at the Space Science Institute attached to NASA. Bill, for those of you who are just joining us and were 2 years old or 5 years old when Oppy landed on Mars along with its twin, Spirit, this is the original rover. That's what this is. This is the roving team. And in 100 years or 200 years, these are artifacts that will be on the Smithsonian, its annex on the surface of Mars or sub-Martian soil when we have a colony there. David Livingston of The Space Show, Dr. Space himself. I'm John Batchelor, Hotel Mars, episode end. This is The John Batchelor Show.